Good morning. I'm Mary Beth Marsden, and this is Know Your Health from LifeBridge Health, where each week we bring you important health information. And this week we're talking about learning issues in school-aged children. And joining us today is Dr. Dana Silver, a pediatrician at the Herman and Walter Samuelson Children's Hospital at Sinai. Dr. Silver, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
This is such a big issue on many levels facing parents these days. So let's just talk about from the beginning. And I guess it's noticed when a child is doing poorly in school and parents are trying to figure out what to do. And oftentimes they go to the pediatrician as the first point of help.
They definitely do. And so as a pediatrician, it's our job to help these parents kind of tease things apart and steer them towards the right evaluations and treatment. So when a child is doing poorly in school, there can be a wide differential diagnosis, as we say. So they may have learning disabilities. You know, they may be acting out or not turning their assignments in or whatever because they don't understand what's going on.
They can't focus.
Right. But they may also have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Or ADHD. They may have depression or mood disorder. There may be some chaos in the home or some other stressors. They may have a chronic illness and just not be feeling good. They may have hearing or vision impairments. There may be experiencing bullying. And so really, it's the pediatrician's job along with the parents and the school system to really kind of talk to the child, evaluate the child, and then figure out where to go next.
Okay, so that would be the next question. Once you kind of figure out what might be the cause of some of the issues, what can a parent and what can you do to help the parent advocate for their child in school?
It really kind of depends. So the first step is helping to tease out what's going on. And sometimes you can have learning disabilities and ADHD. We know that they often go together, or ADHD and a mood disorder, or any of these things. So certainly when you're doing an evaluation, one of the first things that I do is identify what I think the problem is. I may write a letter to the school and say, I think this is going on, and I think this sort of evaluation needs to be done, whether that's occupational therapy, psychological services, physical therapy, speech and language evaluation. And I'll send that to the school, and if possible, I might have the child get an outside evaluation as well. Once we get all those pieces back together, then I can help the family evaluate what these tests showed and then make a plan.
I know that we're talking about school-aged children here, but I would imagine because there's so much about it in the media these days that parents of even younger children are worried about such issues as autism. And now you're having to recognize those kinds of signs.
There's been a big push in the last few years from the American Academy of Pediatrics to identify children with autism much earlier. And so we do all sorts of screening evaluations, really starting as early as about 18 months for developmental things, sometimes even earlier. And again, identifying it early, pointing them to the right services, because we know that early intervention in these cases can really maximize these children's potentials.
When a child is diagnosed with a learning disability of some sort, or a mood disorder, let's say, you have to also discuss with the parent sort of home habits and the things that might help them in helping their child. What are some of those issues that you bring up with the parents?
Certainly, you have to individualize it, but I do talk about...
Yeah, every case is different.
I do talk about... You know, keeping an organized home, you can't expect a child with ADHD who's maybe in middle school and having to deal with six different classrooms and everything else to stay organized. You can't just say, well, they're old enough. So you need to help them break things down into small chunks, both at home and at school. These children may need breaks to go and stretch and run around. They may need some high-protein snacks or other things to help keep them focused. And the other thing is lots of praise. You really want to catch them being good more than punishing them for being bad.
How about the bedtime issue? I've been hearing so much about sleep lately, particularly when it comes to preteens and teenagers, and how kids are really struggling with that, and that can lead to all sorts of issues as well.
Absolutely. Certainly, we know that children who do not sleep well or do not sleep long enough, maybe they, again, stay up late watching TV or whatever, or they have something called obstructive sleep apnea and are waking up frequently. But we know that can affect their attention and their mood and everything else. So it's absolutely important to practice what we call good sleep hygiene, that they should have quiet activities before they go to bed, you know, in the hour before they go to bed. There should be no TV in the room. We really do not believe that they should have any electronics in the room, except maybe listening to a radio or some music, because again, we know that the longer they watch TV, the later they stay up.
Yeah, those devices really can...
Absolutely.
Mess with their brains. I've seen that firsthand. Boy, as a pediatrician, you really have to be sort of versed in all these different topics.
We try.
Yeah. Well, you do a great job. Thank you, Dr. Silver, very much for joining us. To find out more about children and behavior issues or to find a LifeBridge health specialist near you, call 410-601-WELL. That's 410-601-WELL. Or visit lifebridgehealth.org/children and learning. I'm Mary Beth Marsden. Thanks for joining us. It's 10 o'clock.